Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, the podcast where we share news, information, tips, tricks, and resources about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast application, and you can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page. Miss France made maths model for girls. Adana Tracy talks about being a runner and having dyslexia and dyscalculia. Dyscalculia cartoon. Brain development of numerical skills in typically developing children and children with developmental dyscalculia and dyscalculia project. This is our podcast for week 12 in 2024, and we welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services, to help us with the links of this week. Welcome, Dr. Schroeder.
I, as always, love to be here.
Oh, it's, we're always happy to see you because we have our wonderful links from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. And we like to jump in and go over those with you. Now, the first one is surprisingly about Miss France. We had Miss Ghana a couple of weeks ago, and now we have Miss France. What does that have to do with dyscalculia?
Well, actually, nothing directly with dyscalculia. Oh. But this is Miss France who studies math.
Okay.
And there has been lots of comments about her last year when she was crowned Miss France, due to her slim figure. Now, however, the Secretary of Education has published a video with her, and the government now calls her an ambassador to promote more math participation among girls. And
good,
I think that is wonderful.
Good move.
So this is a great story and a great success, and I'm supporting all efforts that help get more girls into STEAM. Huh? That is STEM, but with the A from arts in there, because
okay,
it is linked. And it's absolutely, it's good for her, not just a pretty face, but a great example that beauty and brain can go together.
Just with you, Dr. Schroeder, just with you. Okay, so now the next link is about a runner with dyslexia and dyscalculia. How about that?
Yeah, she is incredible and will compete in the Paris Olympics. Wonderful to see how she opens up about her learning disabilities. And it's not often that we see people with learning disabilities excel in sports so massively and be open about it. But this is great news for all these children who think that their learning disability defines them. It does not. You are not your learning disability. You can do other things. Life is larger than a diagnosis. So great story to hear. It made my day fantastic. And also we need to bear in mind that it does not define you if you have a learning disability. You can do other things, but you can also learn. You can also make progress in math. So
right,
it can
yeah,
go in a positive way for both.
Yeah, it must be difficult to get your lap splits and calculate your max VO and that kind of thing. I mean, these runners, they have a lot of calculation to do to keep your pace
sort
of pace yourself for a marathon when you have dyscalculia. That may be
so
maybe
a good trainer comes in here.
Yeah, right. And they probably have a little, some of them have like around their wrist a little list with the times that they need to run.
Yeah, probably
for
also
miles
a talking,
and, right, talking
device.
Watch, yeah. Okay, well, our next link is about a dyscalculia cartoon.
Now, this is a great introduction to dyscalculia. They explain clearly how to help children with dyscalculia, and I cannot believe how well they did this. It's really nice watching. It's pretty much what also, looking at the content, what I advise people, but the way they have formatted here is amazing. So great to see it on a very good platform, and I really like that they have put in the effort to do that. And it's these kind of videos that are a good source of awareness, because they reach a lot of people.
Yes, absolutely. And there's so many people that go to YouTube that, you know, everything that you put on YouTube that has something with dyscalculia will be watched, you know. Okay, well, that's good. So our next link is about some research in brain development. Now, that sounds like complicated orders. What is new here?
Well, relatively. There's a lot of research, and we have talked pretty often about brain research combining the assessments in MRI studies, and these researchers actually followed 28 children for 4 years. And they tested them both for a complete psychoeducational neurological assessment, but also with functional MRI test, which means that you do math when you're in,
you're in that noisy machine.
So the issues were not really surprising, but they do confirm what we all thought already, but it's very, very good that we now can actually see it in that functional MRI picture. So the children they compared the two groups, the typically developing children and the children with developmental dyscalculia. And they were between 8 and 11 years old. Now what they saw over time was the typically developing children, they increase in their numerical abilities, what we regularly see in school.
Yes.
And they also had a very well-developed frontoparietal network, because both those brain areas need to work together to make good progress in math. Now, in contrast to that, the children with developmental dyscalculia, they showed persistent deficits in number processing and arithmetic that you can see with those assessments.
Okay, that'll be clear, yes.
But for the, there were also things different in their functional MRI picture. So with increasing age, their parietal regions did increase in activity, but they were still showing a delayed development of normal processing areas that are in the parietal regions. And what they also saw was that the activation of the frontal areas were increasing. And that is a compensatory mechanism. If you cannot work out the arithmetic in the specifically designed kind of neurological center in the parietal region, an intraparietal sulcus, then you need to compensate for that and try to activate other brain areas.
Okay. They are not, and they could see that actually.
They could see that they are not as efficient in doing it.
Right.
But you can use them.
So this is like if you cannot write with your right hand, you sort of develop your left hand to write.
Exactly.
It's not as good, but at least you can do something.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Good. Good, good.
Although left-hand writers, if you start on it from the start, they might be able to have a very fluent handwriting also.
Right. Okay. And where was this done?
Oh, yeah. That was done in the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was done in the UK, actually.
The research, okay.
And,
good.
Yeah, so look it up if you're interested in the research.
Yeah.
And read the article yourself.
Yeah, well, complicated orders, but thank you for the explanation here, Dr. Schroeder.
Well, I have to say, it's very clearly explained.
Okay, that is good. Now, it brings us to our last link for the week. And that link talks about a dyscalculia project. What is that?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a video. And it has been running in Europe for a while now. And the aim of the project was to find ways to handle dyscalculia in the classroom and also bring awareness about dyscalculia.
So sounds good.
Yeah, their slogan is, change your perspective, it's only dyscalculia.
Good.
Yeah, so which should help people realize that your learning disability does not define you, like we said earlier. That's not telling who you are. It's part of how you function in the world at a certain moment.
Right.
So they come up with some nice strategies to handle dyscalculia. Let me go over that. First of all, talk or write out a problem. For a student with dyscalculia, math concepts are abstracts. And numbers are more like a scribble on paper.
Right.
So if you write it out, if you make and if you talk about it, you can make it more lifelike. So then they suggest draw the problem. So you have an overview of what goes where, what is connected. And obviously you need to break down tasks into smaller subsets, into smaller tasks. Then what we always say, very important, use real life examples and cues and physical objects. Hands-on learning, that is the way to go. And then review often. Because you want to go beyond coping strategies for dyscalculia for right now, for solving the problems at hand in your math class, you want to make sure that all those previous concepts are still
active. They also still remember those.
Because you need to build on that.
Yeah.
And we see very often that when a chapter is done, they close the book and that is the last they will ever see about it. But when in other times in the school year or in other parts of the textbook, some of these concepts come back and they build on it, and then they have lost that. So go back often, review, and those are all good suggestions. And the project actually, I think, promised a curriculum and a podcast about dyscalculia.
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen those yet, so I think they are still working on it. We'll keep an eye open for when they are finished developing that.
Good. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye open for them. Well, thank you, Dr. Schroeder, for your insights this week. I hope to see you back next week. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. So if you want to see some interesting training that she's developed, go to dyscalculiatraining.org and hit that button that says online courses, and you'll see the wealth of information that she's got stored there, all for you about dyscalculia. Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications@dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.